In response to Fiesta, Steve Hogerman texted me something, which I can't read on the air. But the second one, he referenced Zsa Zsa Gabor. True real estate quote from Zsa Zsa Gabor, quote, "I am a marvelous housekeeper. Whenever I get divorced, I always keep his house." Now, I don't know if he's kidding me, because that was my mother who wrote that line, and she did an impression of Zsa Zsa, and we've played it on the air. And I don't know if he's kidding me, or if my mom actually stole it from Zsa Zsa, so we'll have to find that out. But she wrote that line and did it in her act. In 1977, I transferred from upstate New York, Oneonta State College, to UCSB, and never left. I was taking communications classes, and I met a buddy who was in communications classes. He ended up leaving, going back to Redlands, and got his master's in psychology, his degree in psychology. I went on communication studies major. He was living in married student housing at the time, and I don't know if that was really his wife, but Redlands, but landlord Redlands Jeff has been on the program numerous times, calling in, giving us stories about being a landlord and what's going on. And nicely, he's in the studio today. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, landlord Redlands Jeff.
Fun to be here, Mark.
It's great to see you. We're having a great time. We're going to talk about real estate and, you know, some of the trials and tribulations. And at the end of the career, he went to a seminar called The Gray Tsunami. And what do you do when you own real estate and you don't want to own it anymore? But I want to go back a little bit, because when you went down to Redlands, you were taking classes, how to buy real estate with no money down, and I thought you were foolish. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I didn't say that on the radio, because I was wrong. And you ended up acquiring properties in the 80s. But I want to talk about a couple of books that you've told me you've read over the years, or maybe back in the day. And a lot of it has to do with delayed gratification. One was The Millionaire Next Door.
Good book.
Tell us, what is it about that book that you liked and why you tell people to read it?
Well, his basic premise is you can be living right next to very humble folks that have humble jobs, but because they understand living within your means and delayed gratification, they end up being able to afford anything.
And it is not necessarily that they acquired real estate? Is that part of his book or no? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. And it's just getting away from impulse spending, money that falls through the cracks, and people aren't even aware of where they, the error of their ways, so to speak.
Right. Sitting down to a $4 latte 5 days a week.
Yep.
So you didn't have some big high-paying job, and you got into, trying to save to get into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a second book? The 7 Habits of Highly Infective People. Is that about malaria?
You know what?
What was that book's name? Did I get it wrong?
Yeah, something about highly...
What's the correct name, title?
Effective People.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, a lot of it's just common sense. My daughter actually ends up, she also graduated in organizational psychology. And
got her master's.
She got her master's in it, and Claremont. And she ends up teaching this to management people, leadership skills. And but a lot of it is, paying attention to first things first. Basic common sense things like if your car needs brakes, don't drive to the mountains, get it done. You seek to understand rather than seek to be understood. So you're always aware of your audience.
Empathy.
Mm-hmm. Empathy. And
And another term you love using is turn sequencing.
Exactly.
As opposed to me continually interrupting you.
Right. Take turns. And yeah, those are some good concepts to apply.
And you were never in the business world, the corporate world. Mm-hmm. You were always an entrepreneur, but yet you found a way to use all these in your business and dealing with tenants, which is, well, what is a landlord? I mean, sure, you got to have running water, you got to do maintenance,
right?
But it's picking the right tenants. Now, there's a guy who writes a column. His name is Dave Ramsey.
Yes.
And he writes a column about money advice. Right. And sometimes he'll write something about real estate. And someone wrote in about their rental. And he says, and he answered them. He goes, this is what I do. And this is what I recommend you do. And I'll read these three items.
Okay.
Drive by their current rental. See if it's being taken care of, if it's like a single family home. Confirm with the former landlord, number two, that they paid their rent on time. And number three, get a credit check. Mm-hmm. Now, of these three, which do you do, Jeff? None of them.
Yeah.
30 years in the business, you're picking tenants, you've never done any of them. What do you do?
Well, I try to get a good conversation going on the phone, and a lot of times that's what you can weed out a lot of folks just sort of accidentally. And just to make sure that it's the right place for them and what they're looking for. But when I actually meet them, we just kind of sit down on the front porch and we just chat. And I find out, you know, get specifics. Where do you work? How long have you worked there? Why are you moving? Where are you moving from? How long are you looking to stay? And can you afford this place? You know, boy.
Now, do you have them tell you their income?
You know what? Not outright. But I'll look at their car and I say, so
do you have payments?
Is car this payments. Paid for? How are you doing? You know, and are you going to be able to go to the movies and have fish tacos on Saturday night? Is this going to be a stretch? Or are you going to end up resenting the guy you pay your rent to?
I'm just got a big smile from ear to ear because, you know, most landlords are, here's the application. How much you make? Here's the percentage, da, 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 da. And I remember years ago when I first met Frank and Debbie, mm-hmm. who've been friends and clients for, you know, 25 years or longer. When I first met them, they pulled up in this old red pickup. And the first thing I thought of is paid for. They don't have car payments.
Yeah.
So you have someone drive up in a brand new BMW. You wonder if they're paying $600 a month for that.
That's a red flag.
Oh, it's a red BMW. So, speaking of nice, well, I almost don't want to derail you, so keep going. So you, because I wanted to talk about Corvette Boy, not to be confused with Corvette Jeff in Santa Barbara, but maybe we'll have time for that. So you're sitting down and you're just, I mean, it almost sounds like you're in a bar, or you're on a train ride and you happen to sit next to somebody, and you're just starting to get to know them.
Exactly, and you just almost feel like, is this somebody I can break bread with? I also ask, could this person ever hurt me? Could this person, you know, I just sort of look at the goodness of this person, and I realize it doesn't play out in the business world. Somehow I've escaped evictions and courts and things like that by being able to choose the right people. But also I look at, you know, their neighbor. Now, this gal, she's a dental hygienist. She's been with me for 5 years. And then the person above her, school teacher. So you're going to be these people's neighbors, and that onus is on my shoulders, and so you're going to be a good pick.
And you tell them that these yep. are the things, so it's important to you.
Exactly.
So I've never asked you this before, and I don't know if you'll have the answer.
Okay.
But you get, now, of course, you have someone helping you a little bit. You do Craigslist ads. Mm-hmm. So it's not as quite the same as you always back, you started before Craigslist.
Right.
You started in the Fred Flintstone era of there were, that's rocks.
Right. Yeah.
They exactly. paid you in rocks, in fact. So my question was, you know, if you got on the phone with someone, what if you didn't want to meet with them? Did you, or it was too late?
You know, it just finds its way. You know, if it, I find a way to just sort of dissuade, redirect if it just isn't a good fit. And
you say, you know what, it would be a lovely place. We're working on the rat problem and the termites and the bats.
Well, also,
but it, you like animals, don't you?
You can be there and someone will see an apartment, and all of a sudden I'm sort of picking up on this radar urgency, an emergency. Can I move in Saturday? Okay. And all of these little red bells are going off. No, so I can't quite explain it. And so with that particular person, I might say, you know what? I've got your phone number.
Got a few other people?
Yep. I'll keep you in mind. And I end up and I never hear from them again. It's the strangest thing. Not once. The people that I turn away who have...
You're essentially saying, I'm putting you on the list. Yep. I have other people to look at.
Right.
And they just disappear.
Yep.
Because maybe they realize they can't answer. They hadn't answered your questions adequately.
Yep.
And they know it, and they know you know it.
Yeah. You can't con me.
Right. You're a nice guy, but yep. you get the benevolent dictator. You know how to be right in there with them.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be taken, and they realize that, and they have to move in Saturday. You know why? Some problem they had, and you're asking them, and they don't want to tell you, so they
they
go away.
Yeah, evasive. Yeah.
So you get a good vibe with somebody, mm-hmm. and they move in, and over the years, over 30 years, like you said, you hadn't had any evictions or really bad experiences. You did have. One issue with a tenant who happened to be an attorney. Do we remember that?
Years ago.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out bad, but it was a little...
Yeah, it worked out. He had his own payment schedule, let's put it that way.
Had his own calendar.
Right. And I remember having a conversation with him saying, I don't actually chase money. And this is an awkward situation. I've noticed you haven't paid your rent and you're not returning my calls and your car's in the driveway and you're not, I'm knocking on your door. This is new to me. And so, he said, oh yeah, I'll get it to you. And he's very friendly, and then
doesn't happen.
No results. And so.
And so you're not the kind of landlord that if you don't get the rent on the X day of the month, you charge a late fee.
You know what? It's sort of in the rental agreement, but I don't really enforce it. It doesn't garner goodwill.
And this tenant who wasn't paying on time, he eventually just left.
Well, he ended up paying, getting all of his, everything that was in the rear paid up. And then I just sort of asked him to, maybe he could, it's not an eviction, but maybe you could find a place that better suits your needs.
And was he annoyed? Was he threatened?
No, he took it well. He understood. And he ended up leaving in about a month or two. And it worked out fine.
He took the sink, the tub, every light fixture.
Now, he didn't return the keys. So I had to replace the locks.
He didn't return the keys? So that was his one little finger to you.
Right. I called him and said, by the way, do you have the keys? And I never heard from him again.
So that was his one little thank you. My guest today... who I've known since 1977, landlord Redlands Jeff. Again, he's not from Redlands. His name isn't Jeff. Witness protection program for issues we really can't get into. The other tenant was you affectionately called Corvette Boy.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And you never rented to him, but he became your tenant.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Ran into the nicest gal in one of an old building, 1887. It was built. It's a threeplex with it's like a lot and a half with extra. I have a three-car garage, which is really a horse carriage. Anyway.
Jeff, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
You know, Brian, I'll be talking to Brian.
Point.
No, I'll be
point.
Talking to Brian.
Yeah.
And I'll be, like you and I, we love to details. And he'll turn to me.
Yeah.
No, laugh right in the mic. It's okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. He'll say, no, I want you to. He'll say... He'll say, nobody cares. He cuts me off at the knees.
Yeah.
So you know I'm kidding. So you got this
truck,
and do you pay utilities in that one?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
But ran into a very nice gal who was a nurse. Long story short, within a day, there's a Harley-Davidson motorcycle in the driveway, and then... I have to ask this gal. So, by the way, whose bike is that? And then there's a truck. It's my boyfriend. And then the truck is there day and night, day and night. And then he ends up, so I have to adjust their rent.
And so you suddenly discover you rented to two people.
Right. And we had to, you know, make an adjustment. Long story short, he buys a beautiful black Corvette. I mean, it was showroom quality. And he asked me to build a carport for it.
The guy you never met and never leased to.
Right. And we did not have that connection. And so when I turned him down, I said, no, I don't think so. He goes, well, could you at least maybe get one of these canvas carport type things that are movable or whatever?
And you said, I tell you what, I'll buy you a bottle of Windex and a rag. Yeah, good luck to you.
It was just, but I did, and we did, and we had a cordial, okay, like a respectful relationship, because okay. That's where my headquarters is. I have to go there a lot. I've got my paint and all my stuff that runs the rental business.
Which is why you saw the different cars, because you were there every day. You're not checking up on
them. Right. Not, yeah. And so, so I said to him, I said, you know what, something about this Corvette, you know, sometimes when you buy a car like that, you might want to have a garage to put it in first. And
you might be happier living somewhere else.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
No.
You just said the garage.
I said that, and we never quite got along.
And then they just eventually moved out.
Yeah.
And now I assume on your lease, it says you're leasing to this one name person only.
Yes.
So she immediately...
Yeah.
Broke the lease. You could have, if you were a hard,
given
could have
her
said,
notice.
Hey, you know what? Here's 30 days notice. We seem to be starting off on the wrong page. You've breached the contract.
Right.
You've never said those words to anybody. Except to me when I torque you off.
You've engaged in behaviors that breach trust.
Go to your room. But not my room. Yeah. Go rent your other room.
As you would say, you've been bad.
You've been... No, as my father would say.
That's true.
My father would say...
That's funny.
In fact, he said that to my buddy Jeff.
He did called
him
it
up.
To me, yeah.
He said, you're bad.
Yeah,
God rest him. My guest is the... You call yourself the accidental landlord. There was a movie, The Accidental Tourist.
Yeah.
I mean, you always love real estate.
Yeah.
But you don't see yourself as a traditional landlord. Is that what you mean by that?
Pretty much, yeah.
You want to be a landlord.
Right.
But you just,
and I have this kind of this absent-minded professor thing going, okay. But at my core, I do pay attention to detail, and I care very much.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
And we're going to have some more coffee and maybe a margarita. And we're going to come back and you're going to find out what someone does after they're successful, acquired property. Everything's running along fine, like a finely tuned Vega. Jeff and I both owned Vegas back in the day. Talk about delayed gratification. Jeez.
Yeah.
And now we both have nice, newer cars.
Sweet.
So we're going to talk about the gray tsunami, and Jeff, again's going to seminars and reading books, always trying to learn. And so we'll talk about that when we return. Redlands, landlord Redlands, Jeff. I will tell you that I introduced him to a Netflix, I Am a Killer. We both seem to be obsessed with prisons. And I had read elsewhere that someone suggested... When you die, that you eat an olive with the olive pit. So then maybe it would grow an olive tree, sign of peace. Maybe these convicted killers, you know. I don't think that would actually happen, but it would be funny if you could actually ingest something that would then actually grow. I don't know if that's possible. Probably your digestion would kill it. But a couple of the episodes so far in this I Am a Killer are in Texas. And I did read that Texas does not allow last meals. You don't get that last meal request in Texas. So Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com, Radio Real Estate, where we retort and you deride.